I'm Uncle Monster, and you're listening to Nutty Bites.
I'm Uncle Monster, and you're listening to Nutty Bites.
I'm Uncle Monster, and you're listening to Nutty Bites.
Hi, this is the real Uncle Monster, and you're listening to Nutty Bites.
Imposter!
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Jess, and today I've got an episode of Nutty Bites for you that it might be a little different. I asked the Mixed Nutcases to write in a Dear Abby-style question or problem and said it doesn't have to be true. I got two responses, and I brought my usual cohort.
Hi, I'm Abby. I mean, tech.
And my often cohort.
Hey, what's going on? I'm Jason.
And we're going to answer these pending questions, these dire questions that need answering. So first, we've got Zach Mann, and he posted, "Dearest Abigail, someone has been making me late to get back to work when I take a few minutes break near the gym. Also, how do I get over my hate for Blissey, or at least get that jerk on the other team to stop feeding it berries when I have work to do and I just don't have time to battle the same Pokemon more than five times?" I think Jason can answer this one.
I'm sorry, I was reaching down for my other cup. So I'm hearing that Mr. Man is running into some adversity in the Pokemon Go world. I can answer that.
The answer that the internet would most likely give would be learn to play or get good.
That is very true.
But the answer that Jason gives?
If you can't do it on your lunch break, because, you know, lunches are limited. But when you get off work, you got some time. And you can go stand out there all day after you get off work if you have to. Mind you, I say it only would take like 15 minutes because they've changed the way Pokemon Go fights work now, and it's kind of easy. By the way, who feeds Pokemon berries? Like, no one does that, because like that means they stay in the gym longer and they don't get coins. But anyway, if it's a Blissey, oh man, like, they have like one of the highest defenses in the game. So you got to go straight attack, son. You got to go power. You got to go like Charizard. You got to go get you some fighting types. You know what I'm saying? Get that Machamp going. Because Blissey is a fairy type in normal, if I'm not mistaken. You got to go with the counter to that. You got to find its weakness and strike there, like it's Sun Tzu of the Pokemon world.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I stopped playing Pokemon Go before they made a lot of changes, but would it not also help maybe if he recruited some of his coworkers to Pokemon Go and maybe they teamed up against this Blissey?
It kind of depends on what type of coworkers he has, because like, if you got some straight-laced, like, normal folks, you don't want to be like, "Hi, I'm a 30-something, and I'd definitely love for you to come out and play with my fantastical beasts."
Okay, have you met Zach Mann, like, online? Right. Have you met him? I don't think there's a single person in the world that doesn't know that he plays Pokemon Go and doesn't know that he loves ponies.
Man, God. It's his fault that we had to do those epic episodes, isn't it?
I believe, yes, yes.
Yeah, that was
Zach Mann. And we love him dearly.
Of course we do. I love him the way I love canker sores.
But yeah, like, wouldn't it not help? Or maybe finding other people on your team, blue, red, yellow, whatever.
No, no one plays yellow.
Nobody plays yellow.
No, no. Every time I see a yellow gym, I go into a blinding rage and I have to attack it immediately.
You're such a bully.
Team Valor, son. We find a bond with our Pokemon through battle.
Wait, which color is that?
Red.
Oh, you suck. You are a bully. Never mind. Don't listen to him. He's Team Red.
But no, like,
you were blue, right?
Team Blue for life.
God.
What's blue? Inspire.
Who cares?
Come on, spiritualist. But no, no, it's right. Like, if you've got folks that play the game with you play the game that you may not know at work, yeah, see if they can team up with you. And here's the thing. Say if it's a blue gym and you've got some of those dastardly yellow folks there, some of those team instincts, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
You can hang out with them and take down that blue gym.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you can get other people from other teams to help you, not just. And you know, you could actually work this into like a team building exercise at work.
That, by the way, I would love to have that job. Like, the job that builds team trust and bonds through Pokemon Go. I'd want to work for that company. That company's great.
Make it happen. You'll get a raise.
Eh,
this is not a guarantee.
This like, is not a guarantee.
I work at Walmart. Walmart is the breeding ground for cool Pokemon in Pokemon Go. It's great. Go check them out. Their parking lots are full to the brim.
Really? Is that because there's always RVs?
Like, no, seriously, I don't know what it is, but like Walmarts, like they just have, like, for some, I guess because it's a gathering place of people, so the algorithm has more Pokemon in those places, but you can find all kind of Pokemon in, like, Walmart parking lots, malls, stuff like that.
What's the other question?
All right, next question. Dear Nutty, the debate has raged for years about the Oxford comma. In a list of three or more items, some people say you should put a comma before the last item, and some think it's not necessary. People debate this. Tempers flare, and friendships, he didn't use an Oxford comma, are ruined. I've always assumed that it was, if not required, at least it was a good idea for clarification. So what do you think I should do about my idiot coworker who refuses to acknowledge that I'm right? Pretty sure he's going to file assault charges after the disagreement. Thanks, Moose and Muncie. Or sorry, Morose and Muncie. I don't know how I read Moose. Morose and Muncie.
So, dear Morose and Muncie, be the change you want to see in the world. So use that Oxford comma and use it well. We think in language, and when we use proper language properly, we think properly. So if your moronic in Muncie co-worker, which is I am now calling them, refuses to follow the rules of simple grammar, just ask him a question. Sorry, I had to go there. It constantly amazes me the things that we're willing to fight about. Because I got into an argument with a boss once. He was correcting my work, and he gets mad about my placement of a semicolon, but didn't know how to use a possessive S.
Ooh.
It's like, you're going to argue with me? Yeah, because, you know, possessive S on a word that ends in S. It's just an apostrophe. You don't do a double S.
Exactly.
So it's just an apostrophe. He's arguing with me about that and doesn't even understand that simple grammatical rule, but he's willing to go to death for a semicolon. And I've gotten into arguments about Oxford commas as well, and it leads to a big, huge thing. It amazes me the stupid minutiae that we're willing to go to death for. So before you file an assault charge, before you get an assault charge filed on you, just be the change you want to be. And I'm going way too serious on this, but just...
No, it's a serious topic. Now, I'm going to add on.
Let him do what he wants, and you file the paperwork that you want, and let the boss realize the difference in the style and the grammatical quality that's coming out, and watch that paycheck just roll in, champ.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I mean, unless you have a style guide, there's nothing telling you the way it's supposed to be, right? If there is a style guide that says... you will use an Oxford comma or you will not use an Oxford comma. That changes everything. But there have been court cases, one due to the lack of an Oxford comma. So if you want to make sure that you are being accurate, Oxford comma all the way, baby. But if you have a style guide that says you may not use it, then you don't get to, unfortunately. There are exceptions.
As an example, and I don't want to get too political, I will merely state the fact that one of the big arguments around the Second Amendment
is a comma.
Is based around the second comma and the delineation of that phrase and what that actually means changes the entire definition of the phrase in legal terms. So there's a reason why these rules exist. There's a reason why these rules should be followed.
Yes. And adding to that also, language evolves. So knowing when a thing was written really does depend on your interpretation. This just rolls into another one of those things that you see people talk about all the time. Is it two spaces or one after a period?
Depends on your style guide.
It depends on your style guide. But why is there such the big argument? The big argument is because in old manual typewriting, you had to do two spaces so that you could see the break between the end of a sentence and not, for instance, in case you hit comma or you typoed or something like that. But with the dawn of computers, all of the software automatically puts in the proper space and a half, so you don't need to. But if people do, just get over it. And I say that as somebody who has to constantly go and take out extra spaces when people send articles for print publications.
Now that
get over it.
Now that typewriters don't exist, there are generations of people who don't know the difference between a line break and a carriage return.
This is very true.
They don't even know the sound of a carriage return.
Ka-ching! Ka-ching! Jason, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, typewriters do exist in the world of Stephen King.
Yes. And Tom Hanks.
Yeah, all stories come from evil typewriters. Remember that.
Of course.
This is true. Well, and when you're on a cell phone or something and you want to automatically put in a period, what's the shortcut?
Space.
Exactly. Because that's what makes your period, because there's supposed to be extra space there.
While we're on the topic of evil typewriters, the John Candy movie where his typewriter
Delirious,
where the world of his soap opera is actually alive and his typewriter is able to give people brain tumors to write them out of the story. And
exactly.
Not another brain tumor.
My gums are bleeding. That's weird.
John Candy, man. Love it. Holding it down for being funny big men. Love it.
Absolutely. So thank you so much to Uncle Monster for that. So this was just something that I threw out there in the Mixed Nut Cases Facebook group, which you can get to by going to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. And in there, I ask random questions every so often to really just come up with some good conversation that's fun. Like, you know, what's a food that you really want to try but are a little bit too scared to try?
Goat.
Haven't you tried goat before?
I have not tried goat.
I thought we had goat in Italy.
I want to eat curried goat.
Goat's good.
But I'm afraid that I'm not going to like it. Like, I don't like rabbit and I don't like duck.
Goat's not gamey. It's not gamey. It's very similar to, it's kind of like a hybrid between deer and cow.
Okay. I like both of those.
I like goat. But another one is, what's something you like wearing no matter the dress code? Or
nice
maybe,
watch.
Who's your favorite fictional peacemaker? Not pacemaker, although we did come up with fun pacemakers. So anyway, we have all of these questions, and they're a lot of fun. I normally don't put them on air, but this was an idea that I had. And if you liked it, maybe we'll do it in the future. One thing I do want to make sure that the listeners know is that I will be participating in Dog Days of Podcasting again this year, which means you're going to get a new episode every single day of August. If you don't want to listen to them, just delete them out of your feed. They're not going to take up too much space because they're only going to be about 5-10 minutes. If you do want to listen to them, have a listen. I am bringing back the dinner in a movie. I thought about retiring that theme, but basically I had people over the winter saying that they were looking forward to it. So we're gonna try that out again, and we're going to have some fun with that. So I hope that you enjoy that. And if you want to hear more, like, for instance, maybe what Jay Lanchins is going to be doing, just go to dogdaysofpodcasting.com, and you'll see all the different participants. And you can subscribe to a main feed and get everybody that's doing it. It's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. But before we sign out, what was that thing that we were talking about? Oh, we were talking about tech. You got the NES Classic this week.
Yep.
So tell us why, with having an emulator that you can get all of the classic NES games on your phone or on your TV, why would you buy the NES Classic?
One, it comes from the company themselves, and I want I am speaking with my dollars because I want Nintendo to know that retro is cool and that these vintage products and these old games matter to me. And if they're going to bring them out, let's say, on the marketplace on the Twitch, but they're waiting to see if people actually want to buy retro games, yes, we do. The retro consoles themselves, I understand they're a little limiting, and I understand that they're nothing more that, excuse me, Raspberry Pis in a fancy plastic box. I get it, and I know that I could probably have gotten it cheaper online, but here's the thing. I legally own these games now. I didn't rip something off the internet. This isn't gray market. This is 100% legal. And they're cool little additions to my shelf. They're HDMI. They work off my TV. I don't need, like, splitters and all kinds of crazy things to use these old consoles anymore. and they're fun. The only negative thing I'll say about them is that the controller cords are less than 3 feet long. They are way too short. And you need to buy either wireless controllers, or for me, why would I go wireless on a retro console? I got 6 foot extension cables, and it works just fine.
Yeah, because you still want that like classic feel. We didn't have wireless when these came out.
No. And the controllers are full size. They feel just like the old ones because they are the old ones brought back. And
the boxes are much smaller. You're not that much bigger.
Yeah. They really did make them smaller. And the game selection is good to baffling. I'll say it's very easy to understand why some games are on there. And then I have no idea why other games made the list. But all in all, the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo were both very, very good. As an added bonus incentive, if anyone can find the Super Nintendo Retro and you're humming and hawing over buying it, there is a game on it that was never released to the public. Star Fox 2, in its complete form, is in that box, and it's the only way to legally play it. So it's worth it.
I mean, I personally know, because I was working at GameStop at the time, so I know why Nintendo made these, like the business side of things, but I also know Nintendo loves portable small things. Like, they like doing this type of gimmicky thing, and Nintendo's the only company that will do something like that. And it's good because it shows you that Nintendo has a fun kind of spirit about them.
Well, Sega did come out with a
Sega Classic.
The Genesis Classic, but it's bad.
It's
riddled with faults and bugs, and it doesn't work very good, and it tends to crash, and it's not selling very well because I don't think it was a...
Well, and Sega's not a console company anymore.
No, they haven't been in a while.
Which might be why they're having problems.
Yeah, and besides, Sega hasn't made a good console since the Dreamcast, which is one of the... I've talked about this before, but the Dreamcast was the prototype for everything that we have in gaming
now. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the most underrated at the time, but now people realize how good it was. But at the time, like, they did not sell.
It had later model, like, it had a built-in LAN port. You had online communities. It had a disc tray. You could, like, Phantasy Star Online, one of the first MMOs on a game, was on the Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Like,
that's awesome.
Phantasy Star Online, dude, dial-up MMO.
And two of my favorite franchises of games came out on Dreamcast. So number one, Virtua Fighter. Virtua Fighter 3 on Dreamcast, still one of the great fighting games of all time.
And I'm sure Soul Calibur 2.
Soul Calibur. And my other favorite series of games started on the Dreamcast, called Tokyo Extreme Racer. I think, I forget the name in Japanese, but Tokyo Extreme Racer was a lot, and Tokyo Extreme Racer Drift came out for all the PlayStation games. The last one was on 360 before they finally killed the series, but it's a racing fighting game. And they give you a network of Tokyo highways, and you drive along the highways at night, and all of a sudden you come across other street racer cars. You pull in behind him, you flash your high beams, he flashes his four ways, and on the third blink, go. Whichever car is ahead drains the hit points of the car that's behind. So you have to get in front and stay in front and then like lower their health bar until they lose. Beat all the cars in a club, you have to then fight against the boss of that club. Fight all of the clubs in an area, the boss of the area comes out and you have to beat him. Every car you beat is a car that you can then buy in game and race yourself. It is a cool series of retro games. I wish they still made them. I'd still play them.
Is it's like Initial D, the video game.
Yeah, yeah, and the Tokyo Racer Drift series. There was two or three of them. Have most, because it's all real roads, so it has all of the roads that the roads in Initial D are based on.
Nice.
Because some of the ones in the manga and in the anime aren't real, but Mount Akina is a real place.
dude. It's, man, the Dreamcast is, you know, and the other reason I feel like Nintendo made them is nostalgia. It's, Nintendo understands the power of nostalgia because they're Nintendo.
Dragoon on the Dreamcast or the Saturn?
Panzer Dragoon, if I'm not mistaken, was it a PS1 title?
Was it Saturn? No, you're thinking Dragon Guard.
No, Dragon Guard was PS2. Dragon Guard 1, 2, and 3.
And there was a 4 that just came out last year, I think.
Yeah, on the PS4?
Yeah, and it didn't get good reviews. I was really looking forward to it, but the reviews tanked, so I didn't buy it.
Combine a Dynasty Warriors style game with riding a dragon. I mean, how can you go wrong, right?
Exactly.
But man, you're forgetting, like, by the way, I'm really upset with Capcom right now because Capcom has brought back Marvel vs. Capcom. They've brought back all kinds of games. They're even making a new Mega Man game, for Christ's sake.
Mega Man 11, baby, can't wait. And I just saw pre-orders come out on PlayStation Network for Mega Man X Legacy.
Where is my Rival Schools game, Capcom? Where's my Rival Schools fighting game, Capcom? I played that game in the arcade until my brain rotted, and then I got an import version on the Dreamcast, and I played it until my Dreamcast nearly melted. Where is my Rival Schools? We're getting a new Fire Pro Wrestling D or Fire Pro Wrestling on the PS4. I haven't played one of those since Fire Pro Wrestling D on the Dreamcast. Where's my Rival Schools?
We're also getting a new Smash.
Smash Ultimate, and it has the biggest roster yet. I can't wait.
Every fighter that's been in any Smash game is coming out on this one.
Falcon Punch! It's my dude. Captain Falcon. Man.
I haven't played those since the N64.
You ruined friendships with that game.
I am, man, just like GoldenEye.
But dude, Mario Party, you'll hate your friends.
No, Mario Party's awesome. Every time, and it's still fun.
I love Mario Party.
harsh rivalry. Mario Kart, Mario Party, Smash Brothers. Nintendo has learned how to make you hate those you love.
There's something, though, about Nintendo that is different than the other game systems. I mean, I know that some people get, like, the PlayStation shapes on them tattooed and stuff, but, like, really, like, when it... There's certain games that you love from the, you know, say Xbox and PlayStation or Sega, but there's something about Nintendo that just looking at that logo, it's more than just brand loyalty. It's, you know, that this changed the world. This brand cares about its customers, even when it decides, hey, we're going to make you pay $70 for some cardboard. There's something that people love about the brand Nintendo, and there is something that is very different about Nintendo than anything else.
Nintendo is now holding competitions of what you can create with Labo.
Yeah.
And what some of the people have done is incredible.
Dude, and that's the whimsical stuff I'm talking about with Nintendo. Yeah. First off, Sony and Microsoft could never make the Switch. Like, they could never make that game console and have it fly.
Well, they couldn't have done the Wiimotes or the Wii Fits. You know, I mean, like, Nintendo is constantly changing gaming on its head. I mean, Nintendo was with cartridges forever, and it was always very stable and very awesome. And then
cartridges have come back around.
Yeah, and they've come back. They're all back. And Nintendo had been doing cartridges the entire time in their handheld games. Whereas, like, you know, Sony, they had mini CDs that you would put in your games. But, like, they came up with the Wiimote. And that never could have come from Xbox or PlayStation. But then they both adopted it. And Nintendo's a lot more innovative, and they are more about how can we get people to play. It's not how do we get money,
what
do we
know
works.
They've said it from the very beginning. It's the family entertainment system.
Yep.
And Nintendo has always had their ear towards the younger gamer and towards families playing together or friends playing together locally. Now, PlayStation and Sony, you know, Microsoft, they've had, you know, massive multiplayer games and the Call of Duties and all of these other games to play together as a community. But it's really hard to play those games with four friends on a couch. And that's where the that's where Nintendo has always had people beat, is the local multiplayer. It's the fun of a party game. And, you know, a lot of people smash on Labo. I like the Nintendo Labo. I haven't bought it myself, but it's the every box that you buy, I heard a great reviewer talk about these things and say that the afternoon of fun of cutting out the cardboard and assembling the thing is part of the project. That's part of the fun. It's not just the video game that you play. It's like, oh, why would I play with a cardboard controller? No, it's building the thing that's the fun. And then once you have it built, learning to modify and extend it and turn it into something else and play with it. It's a train set.
Yeah, it's Lego.
It's Lego. It's the build is the fun. Yeah. And if you don't find that fun, then don't buy it.
Because Nintendo saw people like Papercraft. They were playing Minecraft and then started doing it with paper.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, they know that these things are going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
You can use, like they've even said, once you buy it, you have the stencils forever. You can take any cardboard box and cut pieces to replace it out. Like it's not
about the cardboard. It's about the internals. It's about
as dumb as it sounds to where a backpack can be a fake robot made of cardboard. What kid didn't do that though?
Oh, like, yeah.
What kid didn't play with a cardboard box and say, I'm the Megazord in Power Rangers.
What was the best toy ever was when somebody in the neighborhood got a new refrigerator or a dryer, you know, and you had that cardboard box on your lawn.
Giant box.
You played in that giant box every single day until it rained.
It was a castle. It was a rocket ship. It was a race car. It was a thousand different things.
I'm telling you, that's what I love about Nintendo. And I think, you know, it's funny because it was for a long time. It was a two horse race. Sony and Microsoft were just killing Nintendo, straight up.
But Nintendo still had the family market.
Yeah, as much as I love the Wii and I loved the Wii U, I owned them both, and I have a DS. They were losing this console war. They lost for two generations of their consoles in a row, and as we saw, it only took one generation to put Sega out of business. Well, not out of business, but out of the game console part of the business.
Yeah, they're done with consoles.
Yeah, and the worst part is, now in retrospect, they built one of the best systems ever on the planet. It was the Dreamcast.
Yep.
But it didn't do what it needed to do at that point, so they had to give it up. And you would have thought after seeing, like, people loved the Wii, hated the Wii U. So you thought, like, with its sales getting crushed by the PlayStation and the Xbox, Nintendo might try something new. But they didn't. They refined what they learned with the Wii and the Wii U and made the Switch.
Yeah.
And my God, is it good. Like, the Switch has exceeded every expectation I had for it and more. Like, it is a wonderful system. Do I think it should be your main console? Maybe. But do I think it is a complement to your other system? Like, I have a Switch and a PlayStation 4, and I have no desire for an Xbox. None. Zero.
There's not enough exclusive titles for the Xbox to make me want it over the exclusive titles that are available for the PlayStation, and that's where I drew the line. Do I want to play Gran Turismo, or do I want to play Forza?
Yep.
I want to play Gran Turismo. Do I want to play any other game out there, or do I want to play Halo? I don't want to play Halo.
But I will. And what kills me, though, is Halo was one of the last vestiges of major console games that had couch co-op.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think Halo 5 had couch co-op.
I don't know.
Do I want to play Halo, or do I want to play Metal Gear Solid? I want to play Metal Gear.
Dude, Metal Gear Solid, it holds true, bro. You can get in a cardboard box and cause shenanigans.
Absolutely. Cardboard box in a game. Full circle. Bruh. Hashtag full circle.
Yes.
Exactly. There you go.
So, like, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, man, like, but then again, also Kojima's insane. He's insane. If you're not following him on Twitter, you should be, because it's great. How you liking that Luke Cage season 2?
We have not finished it yet, but we are digging it. Better than season one.
Okay, so they've it is better than season one. It is absolutely amazing. Black Mariah should win every award on the fucking planet.
Yes.
For what she's doing on that show. Bushmaster is incredible. The one thing I'm a little miffed about is we've got two seasons about black superheroes in New York. We still don't have the RZA. And they've mentioned Flex. They mentioned Funkmaster Flex in one of the episodes, but he hasn't shown up yet to tell me what New York sounds like. This is what New York sounds like. Pew, 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 pew.
They do reference a Method Man that him and Luke Cage are friends.
They do. And Ghostface Killah was rapping.
Yeah.
In that one episode. It's like, well, Ghostface Killah's here? It's like, yeah, I'm friends with Method Man. He wrote a song about me. He's really cool.
Oh, man.
Although Method Man did not actually write that song. That was a cover, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way,
he did not write Bulletproof Hero.
So the music in this season.
Yeah, done by A Tribe Called Quest.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, this season it is a lot more reggae influenced, and I am down for that.
The soundtrack is all vintage reggae, but the original score is done by one of the members of A Tribe Called Quest and one other guy, and they're both very, very good.
They're amazing.
What episode are you guys on?
Seven or eight.
Yeah, okay. Danny hasn't shown up, but I think
Danny shows up in the next episode.
Yeah.
Bruh. You guys all hated Iron Fist, correct?
Oh, yeah. We podcasted about it live, Balticon.
Well, you did.
I literally felt my faith in Marvel restored with the few episodes that Danny Rand, the Iron Fist, is in this show. Because the dynamic of the heroes for hire between Luke Cage, a.k.a. Power Man, and Danny Rand, the Iron Fist, is where it needs to be. And it's great.
In Defenders, did you watch Defenders?
It was better in Defenders,
yeah,
but it wasn't there yet.
Anytime Danny and Luke were together, it was a great scene.
You get that, but better in Luke Cage season two.
Yeah.
Like, Luke is supposed to names his daughter Danny after his friend Danny Rand.
And by the way, since you've seen the Ghostface episode, that means you've seen the name drop that they did in the show where he goes, I'm a hero for hire.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. His girlfriend called him Power Man at one point.
Yeah, yeah. And Black Mariah called herself Black Mariah. Well, like, we hear that when she was growing up, they called me Black Mariah. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
But even to the point where, you know, Luke Cage is walking around in a black and yellow Carhartt hoodie.
Yeah.
To, for the colors of his original costume.
Yeah.
By the way, you guys think Black Mariah is good now?
God, I love her so much. She's amazing. Oh, so, okay, I have a question. Without spoiling us, what are your thoughts on Shades and Mariah's relationship?
I love it.
I'm here for it.
And in the best part, like, I loved when at the beginning when that guy was like, you and your aunt or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then she just like makes out with him. And she's like, come on, nephew, or whatever she says, like, and gives him that look. Oh, she is a superb actress. Like, she is wonderful.
When that guy in the furniture dealer insults her and calls her a bunch of names in Spanish, and then Shades just whacks him.
Yep.
Savage. Like, oh my God. And he had just got on her about going overboard, and he murders that dude for one transgression. Yeah. And it wasn't just a murder. Like, it was without hesitation. Like, you don't do that. It just
broad daylight in a business.
Yep.
He whacks a dude.
It reminded me of New Jack City. That's how you do it, man.
Yeah.
Broad daylight.
So I, you know, for the beginning of the season, I'm like, is he playing her? Is he using her? And I'm like, no, I think he's just into her. He is here for this. And as you go through, you realize, no, he is turned on by her savagery, by her power, her ruthlessness. And it's so cool. But then you got that, well, I don't want
other thing.
Yeah, there's like a subplot with his boy that I love.
The other thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not getting into that because I don't want to spoil.
guys finish. I can't wait till you guys finish this so we can talk about it, because the way Black Mariah's arc in this season culminates, and how Luke Cage and Bushmaster culminate, and how Bushmaster's impact on this story culminates, and Shades culminates in this. I'll just say now, my ranking for Marvel series right now has season two of Luke Cage as number one.
That's what Tech told me the other night.
Me too. Yeah.
And on that note, just check out Luke Cage season two. It's really good. If you felt it was a little disjointed in season one and you weren't sure about returning for season two, check that baby out. It's really good. And Jason, we don't have any skips like that in the future, right?
No, you don't. And also, there is no craptastic Cottonmouth, or not Cottonmouth, but Diamondback.
Yeah, I was going to say Cottonmouth was awesome.
It's Bushmaster and Black Mariah all the way, and it's great.
Awesome. And so thank you for joining us. This was a little different than our normal thing, but I hope you liked it. As always, I have been Nutty, and with me, as always,
I was Tech.
And thank you so much to Jason for joining us. Jason, where can people find you on the internet?
You guys can always find me on TalkNerdyToMePodcast.com.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll chat later. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Nutty, when are you going to do another Ghiblicast?
When we watch another movie.
What's the next one?
Let me look it up. It's only yesterday.
Only yesterday.
So we just want to thank the patrons for helping make sure that we've got two episodes a month coming out. We are really close to getting to our next stretch goal, which means custom theme music for Nutty Bites, which is something I've always wanted, but in 7.5 years have never really found. But I will give you an update there. I have talked to the composer that I want to use, and he's all on board. He's in the middle of working on some web series right now, but when he finishes with that, he'll start working on something for Nutty Bites. So all we need is, you know, like maybe one more patron and we'll be getting ourselves some nice theme music. But thank you to all of you for bringing Nutty Bites and basically paying for the web hosting fees and everything else. So special thanks to our big daddies, Jason, thank you so much. Aaron Jackson, thank you. Also, thank you so much for all the QC work you've done over the years. Thank you to Susanna. Thank you to Andy Luke. You can check out his books on Amazon. Thank you to Beth. Thank you to Aurora Lee. You can support her on Patreon. Thank you to Susan. Thank you to Melissa A. Bartell, the bathtub mermaid, who is getting her flipper fixed this month. Thank you to Kinsey of Brazilianisms. Thank you to Ian of the Web of Queer. Thank you to Harold. Thank you to Patrick Scafito. You can find his books on Amazon. Thank you to Shane Poole, our super fan, who Red Dwarf, the Introcast is back, and you get to hear all the highs and lows of Red Dwarf Series 12. I'll tell you, there's some bad ones and there's some pretty good ones. But I got to guest on a good one. So,
is Shane on the Red Dwarf?
Say again?
Is Shane on the Red Dwarf?
That's his show.
Is it? Oh,
yeah,
awesome.
He started it. He is the producer of that intro cast. And it's a wild ride. It's awesome. And if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen and hear those newbies kind of begrudgingly fall in love with the series.
Where is Red Dwarf streaming?
Well, it was on Netflix. I'm not sure where it is now. Dave TV now owns the rights to it, so it's definitely on BritBox, but for the new series, I have to buy them on iTunes for like $10 a series.
Well, that's not bad. There's what, 12 series?
There's 12 series, and this latest series, there's only 6 episodes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, is it still going?
Yeah, no, it came back for series 10, and every couple of years they've been making another series. I really think they should have stopped at series 10, but I'm a longtime dwarfer, so I'm still listening.
I feel like that's like how I am with Luther. Like, Luther's coming back too, so I get
really the story was done.
I get more Idris Elba. It's great. I'm so happy.
That's true. You're anything Idris. So also thank you to Greg Larson. Thank you to The Radical Geek. Thank you to Steve Pritchard. Thanks to our very best time traveler friend, Rich. Thanks to Mike. Thanks to Ken Kennedy of Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone. You'll be able to hear more from him during Dog Days of Podcasting if you subscribe to that feed. And thank you to Lynette McFadden of The Bicast, which you should totally check out. That's a great podcast about... you know, bisexuality, politics, but also more than just bisexuality. They also cover trans rights. And even if you don't identify as those things, they're really good episodes to listen to, and they apply to other areas in your life. But I also want to make sure to thank Dagny, and I want to thank our often contributor, Nick. Well, it's summertime, and you know what that means? That means it's just about time for the Dog Days of Podcasting, the 30-day challenge where podcasters get together and record quick and dirty, fun little podcasts that they throw together onto a master feed, and you get to join in on the fun. There's two ways you can join in. You can, and you can do both. You can listen to every single episode that comes out and get a smorgasbord of different topics brought to your ears every single day, or you can even grab a microphone or your phone and create and record your own podcast every day and join in the fun. If you've never done a podcast before, this is a great way to get your feet wet. If you're a veteran podcaster, this is a great way to spice up the podcasting and make it a little more fun and break yourself out of the habit. It's like a summer vacation. The only thing you really need is to have something to say. So why don't you do it? Grab a microphone or just grab the RSS feed and join us. Go to dogdaysofpodcasting.com and you will find all the information that you need to know to listen or to join us and podcast yourself. Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-NUTTY42.